What's going on, Skytown? Welcome to another edition of the Skyhook Podcast. My name is James Kay, and today we aren't joined by Chris Pennett. He is busy at the moment. We are recording this on September 13th in the afternoon, so Chris is a little bit busy right now. But I am very excited because I am joined by Eric Wilson from the Sports Arena to discuss the Sky's latest stretch and what is on the horizon for this team as they approach the playoffs. Eric, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. How are you doing today, good sir?
I'm well, James, and I appreciate it. I love your show, and I just welcome the opportunity to be a part of this. So thank you for having me on.
It's been a long time in the making. But before we start today's episode, I want to remind all of you that we have partnered with TickPick, the best online resource to buy tickets to live events. And that means that you can win free tickets to see your Chicago Sky by following two very simple steps. One, follow the Skyhook Podcast and TickPick on Twitter. And two, retweet our pinned tweet that contains these instructions and tag a friend. That's all you have to do. TickPick should be your first choice to buy WNBA tickets because they save fans by never charging any service fees. They have saved their users over $55 million and counting. Download the TickPick app today and start saving on all of your purchases to live events. Eric, this whole season has just been such a wild ride for the Sky. And even in their last six games, they've gone 3-3, which that it did include three statement wins versus one, I guess it'd be one versus the Aces and two versus the Storm. But they also have had their fair share of struggles. And yesterday against the Mystics, things really seemed off with this team. And we can get into all of that in a sec, but just right now, how are you feeling about where this team is at with just two games left before the playoffs?
James, that's a great question. And if you would have asked me this after the Las Vegas Aces victory, I would have said these next three games are going to be games where they are going to not necessarily play to the level of competition, but they are going to be able to get the job done. Watching what we saw against the Washington Mystics, mind you, without Deladon, she was out with a back injury, really was a bit of a shock or a little bit of a surprise to me. Coach Wade said it in the post-game interview that there was a lack of pride, if you will, and they have to treat every game like it's their last. And this is crunch time. You know, this is not back in May or June when the season first started where, you could look at a game like this and say, these are teachable moments. This team is just starting to come together, playing with the new pieces, such as Alexi Brown, a Candace Parker, or even the rookie Dana Evans. This is towards the end of the regular season. And even though the Sky are locked, well, I shouldn't say locked, they are in the playoff race, but they are not locked in as far as what seed they will get. I mean, right now, if you look at the standings, this team is currently sitting sixth with a 500 record. Now, we know that not to be Sky basketball. But we cannot, there has to be accountability. And I don't know where it starts. I also don't know who the spark is going to be. But watching what you and I watched yesterday, as well as the rest of the Sky fans, I can honestly say I'm a little concerned about them moving out of the first round of the playoffs.
And you're right to be worried about this situation because it wasn't even just that they didn't have Elena Deladon. They were without Ariel Atkins, Maisha Hines-Allen. So when you're without, what, I guess it would be three of your top four players and your second unit has to really step up and bring you back into that game. That is worrisome when you have two games left before the playoffs. That is super concerning. And I also look at this team like heading into that over their last five games, heading into that game yesterday, they were one of the most efficient offensive teams. They've had their struggles defensively, but you felt good about where they started to feel a little bit better about where they were offensively. Diamond DeShields had one of her most efficient games the game before against the Aces, where she had 17 points and again, she kind of eliminated some of those longer jump shots that have killed her efficiency numbers in the past and a little bit this season. And everything kind of, I mean, again, I'm not even just going to single out Diamond, like Allie Quigley, she had struggled a little bit, but then she came back in that Aces game. Teams were attacking her, but then this guy took advantage of all the attention that was around Allie, and they took advantage of that. And, you know, that looked like a team that had maybe possibly had turned the corner. And even though the Aces were without Derica Hamby and Liz Cambage in that game, the difference from that first Aces matchup to the second one, there felt like there was some growth with that team. And then the wheels come off last game. Yeah. And that two games before the playoffs, and you have someone like Steph Dolson, this isn't a knock on Steph by any means, but like we asked her, like, what is going on with this team where you can't find consistency? And she says she doesn't know what's wrong. And maybe that's just because, you know, it's coming right off of an emotional game against her former team. And, you know, that's just like, you have to process the game a little bit, but I kind of get it when it's like, you can't really pinpoint exactly what is throwing everything out of whack. But it got to a point where James Wade had to make a statement by putting out that lineup of Dana Evans, Lexi Brown, Diamond DeShields, Ruthie Hebert, and Steph Dolson for 8 minutes to bring that team back. And when you look at that, I mean, I can't think of any other playoff teams in the past that have gone through a stretch like this and then have been able to go on a deep playoff run. I mean, is there any teams that you can think of in WNBA history or even the last like 5-6 years where you could be like, oh yeah, that's an example of the blueprint this guy can follow after are they 500 now? I thought they might be like 15 and 16 after yesterday, but maybe I'm.
No, I mean, they are 15 and 15. For all the points that you brought up, I think that is the underlying question. The question that us being on the outside looking in, if you will, we'll never be privy to unless someone from the organization wants to speak on it. You know, they've talked about a lot this season. They've talked about their defense. They've talked about their energy, and they've talked about their identity. And I've looked at this team, and like you, when I've seen moments like the back-to-back victories that they had against the Seattle Storm, a top contending team in the WNBA, I've seen performances that they've had against the New Yorks of the world, against the Las Vegas Aces of the world, who they will see next in the rubber match, if you will, because it is 1-1. My question that I asked several weeks ago that really could not be given an answer to until we got to the head coach and general manager, James Wade, was why does this team play well on the road, not so much at home? And he spoke about being health and the timing of everything and not really having everybody at 100%. Well, now you have that. And I know Estu just got back into the mix. She was sidelined temporarily with a bit of a foot injury. But James, you hit the nail on the head. When the second unit, if you will, and they are by no means the second unit, I'm just saying, when Coach Wade made the decision to transition from Courtney Vandersloot, Allie Quigley, Candace Parker, Kalia Cochran, and Azuray Stevens to a Stephanie Dolson, Lexi Brown, Dana Evans, Ruthie Hebert, and Diamond DeShields, that energy that he spoke of, you saw that.
Yeah.
You saw that come alive. These five athletes decided that they knew this was their time and their moment on their home court to not let Natasha Cloud have her way with them, which, I mean, she was dominant for 37 minutes. And it was one of those things where what else could she do or not do that was going to allow this team to be successful? And then, of course, I mean, listen, Tina Charles, Tina Charles. Tina Charles is going to come in and do whatever she wants to do if you let her. If you don't find a way to stop her, here's something else. Stella Johnson. Stella Johnson, even though she may not have played much, Stella Johnson was on that Sky team last season when they were down here in Bradenton, Florida in the bubble. I always like to think of styles make fights, and sometimes when you go against one of your former teams, you sometimes play with a little extra incentive just to remind them of who they let go. Now, whether they want to admit that or not, that's fine. That's my opinion, and that's what I'm going to roll with. But getting back to the Sky themselves, it's been an up and down roller coaster this year. You know, the month of June, they were virtually unbeatable.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, coming off of, I won't say a May that was questionable, but again, played with injury. You get to July, and then we have this break. And there were questions of how are all the teams going to basically, no pun intended, rebound from the Olympic break, those that did play versus those that didn't play. And you saw that. You saw that throughout. But speaking specifically about the Sky, they had time to hone in who they were, what game plan they wanted to execute, and what they were all about. And we saw that with the start of the second half. They would go on these runs. They would go on these, just, it didn't matter who you plugged in and when you plugged them in. Mm-hmm. They knew their role. They came in. They did their job. Yesterday, I just feel like the tank was empty. And as James Wade says, listen, rents due. They have to come in knowing what lies before them. Because, James, you and I both know they're going to see the Aces not only coming up, they're going to see them again. If they decide to go on this run, they're going to see the Seattles up again. They're going to see the Minnesotas again. You don't think that these teams have used the games where they have lost to the Chicago Sky as bulletin board material to say, yeah, how can we contain an Allie Quigley? How can we not allow Courtney Vandersloot to be one of the top assists in the entire NBA? The all-star that is Kalia Copper. How do we not let her transition into that second gear? Diamond DeShields is a pure athlete. We know that, top to bottom, one of the best. And then you have the WNBA champion, Candace Parker, who is just as good as Courtney Vandersloot in being a facilitator and being a floor general, and at any moment who can take over a game. That's what we know. But that's what we didn't see in this matchup. Who's going to fix it? That still remains to be seen. But I know one thing. I have covered this game, this team now for two seasons. Even with all the blatant foul calls that happened with this team, I don't think I've ever seen Wade more upset than I did yesterday. And I think a lot of that stems from the fact that he knows this team can play better. They know they can play better. I can't call it a hiccup because of where they are currently positioned and the road that lay before them.
There's no more excuses, right? Exactly. At the beginning, there was Candace Parker is out for 7 games. And it makes sense that when you lose Candace Parker, that your team is going to suffer a little bit. And even in that Lynx game where she missed some time in the second half, if you want to call it that, where the Lynx just pounded them inside where they give up, I think it was like 38 points in the paint. No, it wasn't that. It was they got to the line around like, I think it was like over 30 times that game. Maybe I'm wrong with that. I have to go back and check. But again, when you have Candace Parker, I understand wanting to use that as, it's not even an excuse. You lose your best player, Allie Quigley, who has been the MVP of this team, if we're being honest, just the way that she's impacted them on the offensive side and has had some strong games on the defensive side, which a lot of people don't want to talk about, given that Vander Quiggs has had this reputation of not being the greatest defensive backcourt. But at the same time, we're at this point now where, again, we're 2 games before the playoffs, and there's just no more excuses that you can make. Candace Parker has been here, again, outside of a couple of games where she's missed some time. And there's just, this team has been healthy pretty much since they got Candace Parker back. And the Stu Dufall being out a couple of games was not the reason why this guy were off during this stretch. I really think that again, when you just named all of those players, Courtney Vandersloot being the best point guard in this league, Allie Quigley being one of the best shooters in the world, Kalia Copper being a first-time All-Star, Candace Parker being Candace Parker, and then Azur Rae Stevens being, again, I think that they have high expectations for her for being a two-way potential star. That's why they gave her that extension in the offseason and bet on her recovering from that lower body injury that she was dealing with last season. And when you put all that together, and again, Ruthie Hebert is also having sort of an underrated season. I'm not entirely sure why she isn't getting more minutes, but I'm not going to question James Wade with that. I mean, but Ruthie is what the, I think she has the third highest field goal percentage in shots around the rim. She's just been one of the most efficient players in the WNBA since she set foot on the court last season. They have depth. They have somewhat of identity now with the backup point guard position, which is something they didn't have in the first 2 years and was one of the reasons why they weren't as successful the past two seasons. And they kind of have figured that out. Dana Evans and Lexi Brown have really held that down. And we'll get into that a little bit later. I look around and I just don't understand what is going on with this team. I don't know if there's something happening in the background. I'm not suggesting that either. Like, I'm just trying to think, like, when you have all of that talent and it's not necessarily translating consistently on the court, when you can't even pummel a team like the Mystics, who are just struggling with injuries right now and have, they don't have any type of consistency necessarily right now either. They were just horrific, horrific on the defensive end in the last five games heading into that game. So one of the things I did notice, I'm not making excuses for this team, but Allie Quigley is getting pummeled coming off of screens. And I don't think people realize this when you watch it on the broadcast, because you can't see necessarily what's happening like the entire half court when you're watching it on TV. Yesterday, Allie Quigley was getting pummeled coming off of screens, and it's really limiting when you consider that 30.3% of her points come when she's coming off a screen.
Right.
There are things that Leilani Mitchell was doing, again, and this is what you do if the refs aren't seeing it, or if they're just not calling that. And I lean towards the latter with this, especially after that Aces, the first Aces game, which was just one of the worst officiating performances I've ever seen from. Yeah, it's seriously, it was insane what was going on there. But Leilani Mitchell was putting her hands like through Allie Quigley's arms, and Allie was like looking back, like the refs, like, are you not seeing this? And then she had to just shake Leilani off of like her body. And then of course the Mystics bench, who I was sitting next to yesterday, erupted like, what's going on here? And then a few minutes later, Allie Quigley has a frustration foul in transition when the Mystics are coming back up the court. These are like little things that you pick up that, okay, maybe like they're just not getting those calls this year. Same thing with Diamond Shields getting to the rim. I just don't understand what's going on here when it comes to the refs not picking up on some of the contact that she has, like someone with her athleticism getting to the rim. She did get some calls in that last Aces game, but at the same time, when you look at, you know, compare the calls that she does get versus the ones that she doesn't get, it is kind of crazy to me how that this team is just not getting the calls that it kind of like should be getting. And then there's of course like makeup calls that still ruins the momentum this team really needs. This is what they feed off of. And
James, I think you hit the nail on the head right there, sir. I think you said the key word being momentum. It seems as though, and again, I'm not establishing blame or placing blame anywhere, but it's what we notice as people who not only cover, but also watch the game. You notice those minute details, those instances that others who don't follow the game as closely as we do pick up on. And momentum, when you said that, that is the word that just instantly clicked. This team feeds off the momentum. When Courtney is finding the open person and being who she is, that builds a momentum. People want to see more of it, and she provides it. When Allie Quigley starts hitting threes from either the top or the right side of the three-point line, it's virtually money. Mm-hmm. And people want that because she knows her shot, they know it, and it's just exciting. When Candace, or anybody really for that matter, is able to find a fast-break Kalia Copper who can change from first to second gear at the snap of a finger and just blow by her defender, it's amazing. I will stack any forward in this league against Diamond DeShields and say one-on-one, you can't take her. She will find a way to get past you. It doesn't matter. Or she'll draw the foul. One of the two. It doesn't matter. Candace, Stephanie Dolson, Azuray Stevens. Listen, you can't teach height. And these women can shoot from beyond the arc, but they can also drive that lane. And if you give them the short jumper, they're going to take it on you. So again, I look at this whole entire team from top to bottom. And I have to say, where is it? Where is the hiccup? Where is the piece that's missing? I don't know what it is. I really don't. Only they know. And only they are going to be able to figure it out.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, the playoffs, like we said, are literally less than 2 weeks away. And the sky, they have so many things to figure out between now and then. And it's tough, right? Because they get to face the Indiana Fever, that final game of the season, which you all can win free tickets to if you follow the instructions that I laid out at the top of the podcast. But, maybe there's some things that they can try to figure out, like they did in the preseason when they played the Indiana Fever twice, that you can kind of try to, again, find that momentum leading into the playoffs. But with that in mind, like, how far do you think this team can go? And if you had to put your name next to a prediction, like, what round do you see them getting to if everything breaks right for them and they stay put at, like, in the sixth seed? And we can do this as if the current standings were finalized as of today, even though there can be a lot of movement between now and the end of the season.
You're absolutely right. Of course, being a biased Sky fan that I am, I want them to win it all. Now, that's the fan in me. The realistic side of me, it has to start in 4 days. James, it really does.
Yeah.
We have to see what Chicago Sky team is going to show up against a Vegas Aces, and also 2 days later against an Indiana. Can I see this team making it to the second round of the playoffs? Yes. I know that the hunger is there. I know that the energy is there. The intensity is there. If they can get the momentum going, get out to those fast starts, and be able to then play Chicago Sky basketball, yes, I would want to see. But I will say this, and it's very rare that I am ever negative about the Chicago Sky, but I will say this. If you have to play a Connecticut Sun, you're going to have to bring an army.
Yeah.
Because I do feel this team, the Connecticut Sun, are playing with such – they're riding that high. They're on that momentum. They haven't changed what they've done. And maybe that's it. Maybe Coach Wade and the coaching staff – need to go back to the drawing board and look and see what worked when they were winning all these games. I know we don't like to focus on the past, but we can build from it. It's those teachable moments. But not only look at those games where you were winning 7-8 straight, but look at the losses. I know he's going to concentrate on this game, my opinion, and really hone in on what wasn't working. And when we have the opportunity to speak to him, I'm blatantly just going to ask him, number one, what's the energy level? And number two, does this team have pride? Because I want to know, because, you know, he doesn't have to answer me. Mm-hmm. But I just want to know, is this team prepared for what is before them? Because the obstacle in the Chicago Sky's way is the Chicago Sky. James Wade always says there is no ceiling because they're the Sky. Well, they built the ceiling. Now they have to break through it.
That's the perfect way of describing it, honestly. And if you just look, again, if the season were to end today, I think what you just said is so spot on, because they would be facing the Wings, who, you know, they're a hot team right now coming into the break. They were the best offensive team just in terms of offensive rating in those last 9 games before the Olympic break. And if they have to play that Wings team, who I think has already beat them twice this year, that's something that, I mean, that's a team that shouldn't beat a team like the Chicago Sky with that amount of playoff experience. And even the younger kids on the team, if you want to call them that, like Kalia Copper and Diamond DeShields, have both have gone through two rounds of the playoffs, or I guess three, if you consider last year as well. But I mean, Diamond didn't play in the playoffs last year. But if the Sky are still in the driver's seat playing the Dallas Wings, even if they are one of the hotter offensive teams right now, and they should, again, if we think that this team is what they were, as we thought they were heading into this season, they should be able to take care of business. And again, if even just looking at the second round, I mean, what's really peculiar about this playoff format is that after each postseason round, the brackets reseeded. So if the Mystics, let's just say, were to miraculously beat the Mercury, the 5 versus 8 seed, then the Sky would either play the Lynx or the Storm. And those are two games as well, just based on where those teams are at and they're dealing with their respective woes, that I actually could see the Chicago Sky, again, going against both of those teams and in a one-game playoff where anything can happen. All it takes is one Ali Quigley game, one Diamond to Shields game for them to be propelled to the semifinals. Like, I don't know. I could also, and I'm not trying to just be a homer here and just be super positive when things have gone awry at times and this team is 500 for a reason and is kind of underwhelmed in the eyes of the media. And I know that the team talks about not having expectations and that's just us, but that's also our job to analyze this type of thing. I do like those matchups where the Lynx, you know, I know the advanced stats won't necessarily back it up, but losing Demiris Dantas the rest of the season is such a huge blow for that team, and not having an obvious replacement for her is just so worrisome heading into the playoffs. And I don't see Bridget Carleton being the answer there. And Natalie Achonwa has had her ups and downs as well. I don't love that necessarily when you consider that Ariel Powers was once coming off the bench and she's looked great for them as of late, starting for them. But their depth is sort of depleted now. And you have to face, again, the Sky haven't played a complete 40-minute game. Actually, they played again, played a complete 40-minute game against the Aces the last time out. But before then, there have just been holes where they haven't played 40 minutes of where I'm convinced that this team can really make noise in the playoffs. But when you play a team like the Lynx that are dealing with all, like dealing with depth woes, I kind of like that matchup. And depending on if Brianna Stewart comes back, I'm not entirely sure that the Storm match up that well against the Sky either. And they got swept on their home floor for a reason, because that the Sky came out and showed that they could be one of the better teams in the WNBA when they play like that, when they go, what was it, like 11 for 16 from beyond the arc?
Yeah.
But the thing is, but like you've talked about too here, we don't know what team we're getting night to night. And it isn't a guarantee. That Wings matchup is not a guaranteed win by any means. And actually between, I know this is a little bit of a hot take, but if you look at that Wings matchup versus those other two matchups, given where those three teams are at, the Wings matchup worries me more than where the Lynx and Storm are at. And I know that's crazy. The Lynx are 7-3 in their last 10 games and everything.
Right.
But at the same
time, it's about their momentum. Mm-hmm. It's about who's getting hot at the right time. You know, everybody has their stretch of runs. Everyone has their opportunity where things are just falling into place and working for them. But again, when you get to the postseason, you have to, at that point, you have to put everything else behind you, because it is truly win and stay in. That's it. Win or go home. That's it. There is no the sun will rise again tomorrow, or, you know, you live to fight another day. That's not it. It's we have to get the job done today, right now. Nothing else matters at this point.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, then our season's over, you know? And so, like I said, these next two games, first the Aces and even against the Indiana Fever, we are going to see which Sky team it is. That's what I'm worried about right now. I usually can look at stuff and say, okay, this sometimes can be a foregone conclusion, but nothing right now with this team can I say is a foregone conclusion. They have to be prepared to match up against the Las Vegas Aces, and I believe they will. But don't look at the Indiana Fever as just a team you can gloss over.
Yeah.
Because even though the record shows 6-23 for the Fever, that's not who they are, and we know that.
One last thing that I wanted to touch on, and we can just spend just a couple minutes on this because gotta let you go. But one of the things that storyline wise heading into the playoffs that I think is going to be interesting is that this backup point guard situation. I asked James Wade before the Mercury game a couple weeks ago about who he, like, if he's looking for someone between Dana Evans and Lexi Brown to just step up and take the job. And it, I think it was between Dana Evans had played one game out of the break and Lexi Brown had played one game coming out of the break. And I asked, like, again, is he looking for someone to step up and take the job? And he said, actually, we would have played Dana that game, but she was dealing with, I think it was a groin injury. But that Dana Evans is the backup point guard on this team. But then in the last few games, we're seeing Lexi Brown actually get extended minutes and provide some solid defense going against Kelsey Plum. I mean, she started to play more when Dana played a little bit in the first half of in the first Aces game in Las Vegas. And then James Wade went with Lexi Brown for that game and then the one after it. So I'm just curious, like, what have you made of this situation? And do you like the strategy that Wade has used, just shifting them around matchup to matchup, essentially?
This is where I have to applaud James Wade, because he spends a lot of time looking at footage and recognizing where there might be a mismatch. Now listen, Kelsey Plum is going to be Kelsey Plum. She is emerging herself as a superstar. She was on fire playing against the Sky. It was one of those games that, you know, you watch and you just see her just basically do what she needs to do and putting the team on her back. And we've seen several Sky players do it. But when you watch this and you see, it's a chess match. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at an individual like Lexi Brown, who I think is a phenomenal shooter, just needs to get more into a rhythm. Dana Evans is a rookie. She has a lot to learn, but she's coming in with that grit, that untapped potential, if you will. We know what she's capable of. She's just waiting on her number to be called. And I think when she does, I think we're going to see her emergence. Maybe not just yet, but it really is about where the mismatch lies. Can you disrupt the flow of one player by the insertion of another? And it really is getting a feel for the Sky know that they're going to see these teams again. And I think the focus and the concentration somewhat has to be around, where can we make sure that we are the ones causing the disruption and not being the disruptive? You know, a lot of it boils down to, in my opinion, three simple things. It boils down to the discipline. It boils down to the execution. And it boils down to the intensity. Once the Sky is able to get that combination together, James, I'll say it, there's no one in the entire WNBA that can beat them. But they have to come with those three things. The discipline to know that tomorrow is not guaranteed. The execution of the game plan that Wade draws up along with the rest of the coaching staff. And the intensity to remind people that there is no ceiling for this team.
I want to agree with you. I really do. What they showed against the Storm recently, what they did against the Aces and just coming out at home and really, that again, it was a statement win to do what they did to Asia Wilson when she goes 7-for-21 from the field and you limit her production. And even Kelsey Plum had some really solid minutes. Efficiency wise, though, they really did rein her in a little bit, where you look at Dana Evans in that first matchup against the Aces, like, she was getting caught trying to evade the screens Vegas was using, try to free up Plum. And that really did work in the first matchup. And that's kind of why they went to Brown, who just kind of provides a steadiness that was needed in that second matchup. But when I look at Evans and Lexi Brown, like, I don't want to overgeneralize here, but I kind of view Dana Evans as like a ceiling raiser, where Lexi Brown is the floor raiser for this team. And you look, Lexi Brown, again, she provided really solid defense. She was also, she moved the ball really well. I think she had like 5 or 6 assists in one of those matchups. She really showed up when the Sky needed her. And this is why James Wade This is why you need a head coach in the WNBA. There's a lot of people in the NBA who actually don't think that it's important to have a really solid head coach when these adjustments that you need to make. James Wade is just so brilliant when it comes to in-game tinkering. It's just something that in 2019 stood out immediately. And it's one of the reasons that they kind of, honestly, why they overachieved in 2019 to get to the playoffs. And when you just look at where this team is at, this is one of their strengths. And this is why I really don't think this is on James Wade. This latest stretch where everything's up and down, where I don't think James Wade is the one that I would be pointing my finger at and being like, James Wade's the problem here. I really think this is more about the execution and just something being off, but something's not those little actions that they run that are just not as tight as they could be. And when this team executes, we've seen it. Like you just said, they can be one of the most unstoppable teams. Looking back at that Lynx game, I guess 2 months ago, where they, in that first quarter, they put up 37 points and they don't turn the ball over, and everybody is like, they're able to hit from beyond the arc. And I look at that team and I thought, oh, that this is the turning point. This is the game that they can look back at and be like, this is how we can play. This is how we should play. And if we play like this, we can go to the WNBA finals. But since winning, again, I said this on the last podcast as well, winning is not an on and off switch. And when you keep flickering it, and it just isn't quite, things aren't just not quite going the way that you need them to go. When you play a Connecticut Sun, who are the clear favorites to win the WNBA championship this year, I have a really hard time seeing anybody else. When I think their net rating in the last like three games is something crazy, like over 24. That's a team that I don't see. I think they're just going to really push through, and I think they're going to come out on top. I don't really see that's a team that can play a complete 40 minutes, where we just haven't seen it often enough from the sky, where if they do put it together, it'll be interesting to see. But again, there's something to be said about that repetition of just going in and taking care of business that we just haven't seen this season outside of that 1-7-game win streak. And that can kind of complicate things. But I'm sorry to keep this segment going for a little bit too long, Eric.
Listen, it's all good. James, you already know I can sit and talk Chicago Sky basketball all day with you. I appreciate you having me on. I can give you a really quick update because I just logged on to the league pass, and the Aces are up 81-68 with about 3.5 left. The so Aces, 36 points in the paint today.
That doesn't surprise me all too much. And wow, they've only played like 7 players too, which is kind of crazy. That makes a little bit more sense. Angel McCountry is on that roster, and she was listed as doubtful against the Dream at one point. And I wasn't sure if that was just for ceremony or if that was there's a chance that she comes back, but that would be an incredible recovery for the injury that she sustained earlier this year. But yeah, it might be interesting. Maybe the Aces just take care of business and the Wings are they just won't get that seventh seed, the Wings won't get the seventh seed. So, but Eric, is there anything that you want to plug before we hop off this?
Listen, as always, I appreciate the Skyhook podcast. Definitely everybody follow James and Scott. I love listening to you guys talk about the Chicago Sky because, as you know, first and foremost, I'm a fan. But I love the opportunity to cover them. My show is The Sports Arena. I'm live every Monday and Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Hopefully, I'm looking forward to the WNBA playoffs and hoping to see where the Sky fall, because if they remain the sixth seed, like I said to you earlier, whoever they get in that first round, as long as this team plays with those three things, discipline, the execution, and the intensity, it's going to be get ready, because this team, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people. And then moving forward, it's just going to be all on them.
Yeah. No, it'll be pure entertainment once the playoffs come around, which, again, less than 2 weeks away. We've got 2 more games to look forward to before that. But, Eric, thank you so much for not only coming on the show, but just covering this team. I know everybody appreciates what you put into it. And I hope we get a chance to do this again soon.
Oh, definitely. I appreciate it. Thank you, James.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Skyhook Podcast. Remember, you can enter our ticket giveaway and win 4 free tickets to see the Chicago Sky and Indiana Fever in their season finale right before the playoffs. All you have to do is follow TickPick and the Skyhook on Twitter and go to our page on Twitter. Our handle is @Skyhookin and retweet our pinned tweet that has these instructions and tag a friend. That's all you have to do to potentially win 4 free tickets at the 100 level to see the Chicago Sky in action versus the Indiana Fever on September 19th. The winners will be announced September 17th. And again, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to our show. You can always contact us by emailing our mailbag, which is theskyhookmailbag@gmail.com. One more time, that is theskyhookmailbag@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @skyhookin. And we're also on Instagram, the Skyhook Pod. Follow us there if you're interested in getting your Chicago Sky fix on the gram. And if you could take a second to rate and review the show, we would really appreciate it. But again, thanks for tuning into the show, and until next time.